Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/bookshow. Then go over to morbidlybeautiful.com as we are now part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcasting Network.
Everybody here dies by dawn.
Dead by dawn.
Welcome
to the Spook Show.
Hello and welcome to an interesting All-American Spook Show podcast. I'm Josh.
Yeah, the other 205 weren't interesting.
Yeah, no. Forget it. You know what? You can skip them. You can skip everything. And just listen to this one because this is interesting. This is going to stand out. It's going to be polarizing.
Stab yourself in the eye.
It's going to shock you, surprise you. Probably not.
But I disappoint you. Yeah,
it might. I mean, we'll see. Yeah. I was about to say, yeah, exactly. How's that any different from any other Monday at 6 p.m. East? But I'm Josh. I'm joined here with Donnie.
Yo.
Will.
I ruined the surprise.
Tiana.
Hey.
And the Professor Smoke.
Sup?
That's right. The rare, all five of them. You get a fiver. That's how interesting this is.
Yeah, you get a whole fist.
Yeah, you get, exactly. You get an all You're getting all five fingers straight up, you know, busy street.
Yeah.
Straight up busy street.
Yeah. The air? Or in the, oh.
Yeah. Where stuff should usually be coming out, it's going in. We're here to talk. It was Will's choice. That's the main reason why he's here, because it would have been cruel and unusual if you'd have cast this upon us, Will. You chose this movie and then you don't show up for it.
Well, to be fair, I had a better movie picked. It was just with work, I couldn't pull it off.
Circumstantial. What was the movie you were going to pick?
Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah, see, that would have been awesome because we would have had all of us would have had a chance to go check it out because as of the recording of this, it just recently came out. So that would have been cool. But instead, you decided to go with something else. What'd you pick?
Ass.
The movie.
Ass.
Now, that was for Crafts or
Get him a rink.
There we go. No, you picked that. That was close to what you picked for Crafts for Peace a month or two ago. You nominated. I'm pretty sure it was Monster.
Did y'all watch that?
No, it didn't.
No, win.
It didn't.
Oh,
win.
Come on.
No, it didn't win.
Just after the name. One of mine.
Because I've won the last couple months. I think it was Sharks of the Corn. Was it not?
Appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah.
None of that.
Well, actually, by the time this will air, I guess I'm going to say error, but by the time this will release,
that's already out.
That's the entire reason that I picked logistics.
Yeah. Exactly. And we'll see whether we don't have the final counts quite yet as the recording of this. As to whether that's the one that we'll actually have to watch or not, but come back later in the month for that. But last month we watched Sharks of the Corn. So yeah, we missed out on Monsterd, but we got a different flavor to play with here. But before we get into it, because I know everybody's dying to get into it, before we dive into the deep end of the pool of Skinnamarink, we want to remind you to go check out the Center of the Spook Show Universe at aaspookshow.com. From there, you can listen to all of our past podcast episodes. They're all archived. You can go to our YouTube from there, where every month we have Video Vortex, Hammer Horror in Order, Grindhouse Gutter series, every week, every month, over there. And, of course, patreon.com/aaspookshow. You can reach it from there, where every month you've got a video minisode that includes the Library of the Professor and, of course, as previously mentioned, Crapster Peace Theater every month. You vote on it, then the following month we have to subject ourselves to it. If you go to patreon.com/aaspookshow, that is where you can access all of those. They're all archived there as well for our patrons, and we always, as always, appreciate the patrons. We don't appreciate
you bringing this up. You've already said forget the others.
We don't appreciate these other people that just listen to this shit for free. We appreciate the ones that pay for it. There we go. Those are the ones that really, really take care of us. So we encourage that. But otherwise, yeah, we'll go ahead. I didn't even check. Is there a fucking trailer for this? If so, it might just be silent for the next 2 minutes. Because God knows what the hell the trailer for this would be.
Or cut off sound.
We'll just pretend that there's a trailer and we'll go with that.
There is.
Okay, well, there you go.
In this house. in this house. In this house. In this house. In this house.
So there's the trailer for that.
Good to see not many things have changed.
Yeah. you check out for a month or two and then you realize you didn't leave anything behind. It's the same. Anyways, yeah, there's the trailer for that. So.
No, Josh, please go ahead.
I have seen this before. Smoke, I know.
How do you like it on this viewing?
Smoke, I know you and Tiana have seen this before, correct?
Yeah, we saw it in the theater when it first came out, okay. Before we get into any of our thoughts on anything, I will say that the theatrical experience was at least good for the sound design of the movie, because sounds of this movie, as you hear just on normal, what it's watched on TV without surround sound, there's a bunch of just random noise-generated things that were like, it would be kind of a jump scare, I guess, in some scenes. It makes you jump out of your skin in the theater, though.
Yeah.
For better, some people love jump scares, other people hate it. It is a little bit gimmicky, but it definitely, for this movie, works as far as making jump out of your skin in those scenes.
But Donnie, you and Will have not seen this before, right?
Nope.
No, I had heard things when you guys watched it, like a year or two ago, whenever it was. I'd heard things, but I didn't watch a trailer. I didn't, I didn't watch a teaser or anything.
You had no expectations past just some of the things we had seen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just kind of went in cold.
Where was the purple dinosaur? That's all I was looking for.
That is not there. That's where.
I know. That's where they cheaped out. It's like, here, we'll put them in post. And then they just never got to it.
This movie debuted July 25th, 2022. Donnie, you were talking about however long ago it came out. It debuted. Mm-hmm. July 25th of 2022 at the Fantasia International Film Festival. It released in theaters limited last January. So this was January 13th of 2023. And then it debuted on Shudder a little less than a month later on February 2nd of 2023. So this was about, give or take, a little over a year ago when, we were talking about it when it came out. And that's when everybody was... Smoke, you can attest to this. This was very polarizing.
Yeah, for everybody watching it... As well as all of us, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Maybe it will.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. I haven't even looked at the reviews on IMDb, but I'm sure they're at least split and probably below 5. I mean, below 10. I mean, below 5, sorry.
Yeah.
Probably,
well,
I would imagine they're 5.
As we sit here, as the recording of this, it has over 15,000 ratings on IMDb, and it's 4.8 out of 10.
Exactly.
So, right, almost evenly split, to your point. But it... was produced by Mutiny Pictures, ERO Picture Company, and distributed by Bayview Entertainment, IFC Midnight, and Shudder. I actually also did find an alternate title to this, which I thought was kind of cool, too. I mean, it doesn't stand out quite as much as Skinamarink, but in France, apparently, it was called The House. So, interesting, but, just as interesting. I guess a little less interesting than Skinamarink, but, it does make sense when you watch the movie, right? That it would be called The House. It is not rated because it only got a limited release, although we'll get into some of the numbers on that here in just a second. But it has a total runtime of 1 hour and 40 minutes. Woof. On IMDb, it's listed as a horror slash mystery, and it was filmed in the Edmonton, Alberta, Canada area over the course of a week in August of 2021. Forget this, a budget of $15,000. That's it. Mm. And it went on to a worldwide gross of $2.1 million. So, success. No question about that. And that was just on the limited release that it got, although, you know, I can get a little bit into that when you go over and look at how many, like, theaters that it played in. It played for, let me see, over 2 months. It went in over 800 theaters at one point. That's when it hit its height. It was playing in over 800 theaters, which is, you know, to me, seems like a lot more than, you know, a limited release. But it was successful. And I think what happened here was, like, word of mouth, you know, it was like, you need to see this. This is one of those, it's polarizing and captivating type of movies. And that, like, man, this is all, in my opinion, most people are going to be like, this isn't the most awesome thing you've seen. It's just so weird and so unique that I think that's where the word of mouth, and it kind of got a viral thing, because apparently at one of the film festivals that it played at, an unnamed film festival that I could find, it got leaked before it was released. Because you know how sometimes some of these film festivals, like, you're either there in person watching it or you can watch it at home, you know, especially during this time period. You could, you know, kind of get a digital copy of it, where somewhere in there was a mistake made and the film got leaked. So there were a lot of people on socials, TikTok, stuff like that, that got a hold of it. And it really got a positive viral word of mouth kind of thing going, that, like, this is weird and unique and you need to check this out. So I think that contributed to the success that it saw in the theaters during that run that it had. But that opening weekend where it was playing limited, it played in 692 theaters, and it came in 11th in the box office with $818,000. So they had already made their money back and then some right there in that first weekend. So, you know, they got to be happy as hell, right? The top 10 in the box office that particular weekend. So this is the weekend of January 13th through the 15th, 2023. Number 10, Walter Viraya. That's a Hindi movie. I don't know anything about that one. Number 9, Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. Number 8, The Whale. I think that went on to win some Oscars and stuff, right? A24. Mm-hmm. Number 7, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. That was in its 10th week and still doing pretty well. It was almost at $450 million at that point, so it was wrapping up, kind of. But still doing well. Number 6, in its opening weekend, House Party, that remake of the 90s House Party flick. Number 5, in its opening weekend, Plane, which I don't have any recollection of that at all, and it was only a year ago. Number 4, A Man Called Otto. Number 3, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. That's one of Donnie's favorites.
Fantastic.
Number you 10, too, Donnie?
Yeah, Jesus.
I have a feeling that you guys would probably rather be talking about Puss in Boots, The Last Wish right now instead of Skinamarink.
Oh, yeah, you would be, yeah. Mm.
Number 2, one of Smoke's favorites from last year. I think this topped your list, Smoke, if I recall. Megan.
Megan, oh, yeah. I do that dance. I do that TikTok dance there, like, every night.
Every night. So, Tiana, before y'all go to bed, is this the ritual? He just does the Megan dance?
Yep.
She can attest. And number 1, still whipping ass 5 weeks in, Avatar, The Way of Water. That was the second, right? Yeah, that was the second Avatar flick.
Yeah.
It had already, well, that's just domestically, it already had well over $500 million. So I think that thing went on to make billions, right? So that was the big dog at the party. But Skinamarink, though, almost cracked the top 10 in its first weekend, which I thought was pretty impressive. It was directed and written by Kyle Edward Ball. He would best be known, he made a short film called Heck, but he also had, which turned out to be, I think, kind of a spec for him to get the money to make this. But he also had a YouTube channel, I'm not sure, but it was called Bite Size Nightmares, where the entire premise was people would comment about, like, a nightmare that they had, and then he would kind of make a really small short film based on people's nightmares. And that's essentially where the germ of the idea that came together to become Skinamarink came from, right there. That's a pretty interesting concept, though, for a YouTube channel. Produced by Dylan Pierce, who, when I was looking through his stuff on IMDb, this dude's done a ton of, like, Christmas shit for the Hallmark Channel. Like, a ton of it. So it's weird that he's the producer of this, right? But I guess you get what you can wherever you can get it.
That's like the Wiggles I don't say all drug addicts, but they were known for taking drugs and then
they the children's show.
Yeah, make it a kid show. But then again, I think that was also with Jim Henson. I don't know.
It may be.
Just throwing that out there.
Starring Lucas Paul as Kevin, that's the boy. Dolly Rose Tetrault as Kaylee, that's the girl in the movie. Ross Paul as Dad, and Jamie Hill as Mom. Now, Jamie Hill is the only one that literally has been in anything else whatsoever. She was in a movie called Unseen and a handful of other things, but the other three.
How ironic.
Yeah, and Unseen. But the other three, the two kids and then the dad, they haven't been in anything at all. And for all I know.
Including this.
Yeah. Well, true. They're barely. Yeah, exactly. This movie was shot at Kyle Edward Ball's childhood home. This is actually the house that he lived in growing up. And maybe not every single toy that you see in the movie, but most of the toys are the toys that he had growing up. His mom had saved a lot of them, so that's what you see in the movie is his toys from growing up. The movie itself was mostly lit with a tube TV. Like, there was really no extra lights used, just that TV lighting the room. And some small LED lights, I guess, here and there where they needed them. But otherwise, that's how they lit the movie. Shot digitally, so probably only a camera or two, right? And using a fucking tube TV to light most of the room. This should surprise no one. He lists his inspirations for this movie, although one was kind of weird, but then again, it makes sense. As Stanley Kubrick, David Lynch, the 1967 movie Wavelength, and surprise, surprise, he's a Canadian filmmaker. He was inspired by Black Christmas from 1974. Although I see no comparisons to Black Christmas here. Can you think of anything, Smoke, that would even make you think of Black Christmas other than the Canadian ties?
Not 1970s vibe. That's about it.
Yeah, maybe.
You didn't say Cronenberg in there, did you?
He didn't list Cronenberg, but he did say Stanley Kubrick and David Lynch, so that didn't shock me at all.
Nah.
The cartoons that are used in the movie are public domain, so, didn't have to pay anything for that. And that was pretty much it as far as, the background stuff that I had. I mean, did you guys find out anything else that you wanted to point out before we dig into it?
Did you say this was a short film, though, first, right?
Well, there was a short film called Heck that I think was kind of, a spec for this. I don't think it's necessarily this, but I think there is some connection there, yeah. And in my opinion, we'll get into that. He probably should have kept it that way. Short film part, is what I meant. Instead, he decided to add, what's the usual length of a short film? 20 minutes, give or take, 15, 20, 25 at most, right? So instead of keeping it at that, he decided to add another hour and 20 minutes to it. So,
I think we can all thank him.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Kyle Edward Ball.
It's time to refresh. For your convenience, we have an attractive refreshment stand with a parade of items to tempt your taste. Hot buttered popcorn, golden good and fresh from the popper, your favorite candies, wholesome and rich and full of flavor, ice cream and other good things to eat, plus ice-cold Coca-Cola. So bright, so bracing, with a taste and tingle all its own.
For you listeners of the All-American Spook Show podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. So I went and typed, I couldn't find anything if you just type in Skinamarink on Audible. So I typed in Nightmares, see what would pop up. And of course, you do find some stuff here. We've got Nightmares book. Well, there's at least three books here. So apparently it's a series by Jason Siegel and Kirsten Miller. Those are all a little over or around 7 hours apiece just for those three books. I see Nightmare, a heart-stopping post-apocalyptic short story by Matt James. That one's just a little over an hour long. And there's a handful of podcasts. So I'm sure it will be interesting to see if there's a book that kind of explains Nightmares. Surely that exists, right? If not on Audible, somewhere else. But I don't see anything right away for that. But tons of options. I mean, I've just typed in Nightmares and I got 900 results. So There's tons of stuff over on Audible. So if any of that interests you, or you want to dig into the world of nightmares, you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/spookshow. Again, that's audibletrial.com/spookshow for your free audiobook. Now, usually here, this is where we'll go to IMDb to look at plot summaries, but I don't think that's really going to do it. I don't think it's going to do it. I'll read you the one sentence one. Two children wake up in the middle of the night to find their father is missing, and all the windows and doors in their home have vanished. But what I thought we would do here is I'm actually going to read the plot, because, you know, Wikipedia, for most movies, will actually give you the plot of a movie. So it's a little long, but I think this will explain everything, and then we can just kind of talk about it. So we're going to do things a little differently here. So basically, this will just explain the entire movie. It's going to take a minute, but this will explain as best we can the entire movie. And this is one thing, right off the top, I didn't catch this. Maybe I just misremembered. But it says in 1995. Do you remember seeing a year at all here? Maybe it's in the context clues or something, but on this plot synopsis, it says in 1995.
This, to me, scrimped like 1970-something.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah. With the tube TV and all that shit. But, you know, then again, I mean, rocking the same shit in the 90s, too. But it says here, in 1995... 4-year-old Kevin injures himself in an incident that his 6-year-old sister Kaylee attributes to sleepwalking. Kevin is taken to a hospital and brought back home. The siblings wake up in the middle of the night to find that their father has disappeared and that the windows, doors, and other objects in their house are gradually vanishing. Kevin suggests they sleep downstairs where they watch cartoons on television. They awaken to find the house still dark, hear an unexplained thumping noise, and find a chair upside down on the ceiling. Kevin then suggests that their father went with mom, quote-unquote, but Kaylee does not want to talk about their mother. The toilet in the downstairs bathroom disappears. On their way to the upstairs bathroom, Kaylee sees a doll on a bedroom ceiling, and Kevin ends up too frightened to use the toilet, so they decide to place two buckets in the downstairs bathroom. A mysterious voice calls to Kaylee from the darkness and tells her to come upstairs, where she sees their father in a bedroom. He tells her to look under the bed, but she does not see anything. She then sees their mother sitting on the bed. Her mother says that she and her father love Kaylee and Kevin and instructs her to close her eyes before vanishing. Kaylee looks at the open closet and hears her mother say, "There's someone here." From the closet, she hears her mother calling her name as well as moans of pain and bones breaking. She is startled by a hand reaching out around a corner and panics. Kaylee runs downstairs, where Kevin helps her push the couch to block off the hallway from which the voice was calling her. When Kevin falls asleep, the voice calls Kaylee again. When Kevin wakes up, he sees that Kaylee is gone and toys and objects are suspended against a wall. The voice beckons Kevin into the basement, where he sees Kaylee, who no longer has eyes or a mouth. The voice tells him it wants to play as some of the toys begin to disappear. A drawer opens in the kitchen and Kevin complies with the voice's command. They insert a knife into one of his eyes. Kevin calls 911 and whispers to the operator that he was cut with a knife and feels sick. The operator tells him to stay on the line and that adults are on their way. Kevin says that the doors have disappeared before dropping the phone. The phone turns into a chatter telephone toy, and the voice claims responsibility for this, telling Kevin that it can do anything. It says that Kaylee disobeyed it and demanded to see her parents, so it took away her mouth. It tells Kevin to come upstairs. Holding a flashlight, Kevin finds himself on the ceiling. If this sounds fucking whack, it is. He walks into a bedroom, which becomes a void, and a dollhouse is shown sitting on a pile of toys in a seemingly infinite hallway. His on-screen text reads, 572 days. A woman is seen sitting on the bed, and her head slowly fades away, followed by the rest of her body. Photos are shown of people, except their faces are either missing or distorted. Kevin cries out as blood spatters onto the floor, then disappears and splatters repeatedly. He asks if he can watch something happy, followed by an apparition of a door. In the dark, an unidentifiable face appears over him in his bed, telling him to go to sleep. Kevin asks for the face's name twice, but it does not respond. I know that was long, but like that's the best way you can describe it, is just let them describe it, right? Because when you're watching,
that sounds good.
that makes it sound like some stuff's going on, but and stuff is, but it's like, how would you describe this, Smoke? I mean, like, it's just like a dream, right? Like a nightmare or a dream or something, right? I mean, that's essentially what this is.
Yeah, like nightmare logic, I guess, where it's, you know, the plot is not really consequential when it's when you're talking about dreams and everything. Like him listing David Lynch as a influence, probably the early stuff, like Eraserhead, for instance. Yeah. You ever watch that movie again? It's like straight up nightmare / dream logic. It's images and things and sounds thrown together into something that's not really a plot, but I mean, it's, and like I said, that's why it's polarizing.
Yeah.
So, but that's what I gather from it. It's a dream. It's like a dream or a nightmare. Things are, well, it starts off as dreams, as a lot of dreams do, you know, and then turns into a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, when I watched it, there was a certain amount of logic to it at first that you can kind of infer what is going on here. And then at some point, maybe I grew bored of it, or maybe it was just things were so unexplained that it kind of lost me somewhere. So, at some point, I just lost the ability to understand what the fuck was going on past, like, clearly these kids were dreaming or having a nightmare or something, right? Like, so I guess, you know, as far, what do you think of it, Will? Like, as far as, like, is this some type of interpretation? Did something really happen and you're seeing the afterlife, a dream, a nightmare? What do you think?
Honestly, on my watching of this, I was like, just Jesus Christ, this is boring. There's nothing going on. It's like half images, the audio and video drop out suddenly for no reason. Like, it's kind of hard to pick up really on any kind of story, with the exception of this just small bit of dialogue, you know, in between these, like, you know, 10, 20, 30 minute segments of, you know, just kind of kids wandering around the house. I did not really look that deep into it. Like, in watching, I thought, all right, you know, this is more of like a visceral, maybe, you know, like, grab your, if you're into the movie, you know, it'll, you know, pull like certain types of feelings out for, you know, different people. Now, I have went through and kind of looked up some stuff on the back of it, which without that, I would say, God, this movie is horrible. But like, now having like a little bit of a background on it, right, I can get down with what other people were saying. Do y'all want me to go ahead and go into that, or?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. These are like people's, these are like people's opinions of what exactly is happening here, right?
Yeah. Obviously, you know, this is more so art than any other movie I think I've sat around and watched before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to each their own. So with this one, a lot of people were saying that, you know, like y'all were saying, it's a dream. Some of it is battered children. So, like, essentially, you know, like, if a child is, you know, being beat or anything, like, they hide from their parents.
Yeah, they kind of withdraw and go into their own world kind of thing.
They go into their own world. They don't feel like there's any way out, so hence no windows, no doors, anything like that. There was another interpretation of, it's just a nightmare that you can't get out of. So, like after I saw, like, the whole, like, child abuse angle of it, you know, and kind of, you know, sat there and thought about the movie a little bit, I was like, all right, I could see that, and I could understand the story a little bit better and appreciate it a little bit better. This should have been about a 15-minute long movie.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I came with when I watched it, was that, like, man, this would have been so much better, more effective for me if it had just been a, you know, a 20, max 30-minute long short film. You know, because a good portion of the runtime of this movie is just seeing cartoons on a TV, right? Like,
yeah,
or, you know, just a toy sitting in a corner, or, you know, whatever the fuck, you know, like, that eats up so much runtime. And I know it, you know, for the narrative that he's trying to build here, I guess it makes some kind of sense. But, like, I don't know, it's just boring because, you know, you're waiting for something and, you know, you get moments of stuff. But
I think he did it because it builds up some scenes, especially like the one where, you know, the parents are on the bed and they say, look under the bed. Mm-hmm. I shit my pants in the theater, even though nothing even happened.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm so sorry about that whole scenario.
Yeah. It's all about unsettling you, right? Like, I think that's what they're trying to go for here, is it's just to unnerve you, unsettle you. Don't get comfortable.
Break the norm.
Yeah, like, you know, that kind of thing. And I could definitely see this, too, being a better experience in a theater. because Smoke, like you pointed out, the sound and everything, the good sound design, you know, it was made, I think they edited that way. So like you had to kind of lean in, you know, there are certain parts where they're literally whispering, and some of it, there's titles, right? There's subtitles, but then in other parts there's not. So you kind of have to lean in, and cause you're looking for, really, I think that part of it is, you really lean in even harder because it is so long. You're like, fuck, this movie is going on forever. I need to lean in just to understand what the hell is going on here. You know, like, is something going to happen? You know,
like for me, like legit, I paused the movie and then just turned on the subtitles just so I could understand. Like there were, you know, mutterings of things that I guess they thought you could understand, and I couldn't make out a single word of what the guy was trying to say.
And he did most of that on purpose. That was purposeful.
I'm sure he did. But yeah. Like, yeah. If I'm going to have any type of enjoyment out of this movie, I need to understand the process.
Yeah, you need to, and maybe to that, maybe this is one of those kind of movies where, I guess that's a question, Donnie. I guess maybe I'll pose it more as a question. Is this a movie that you need to understand a little bit more before you go into it?
I'm actually on the I'm on the other side. This is one of those pieces. Yes, it's certainly, you know, it's certainly experimental. And I can appreciate that side of it. But it's also one of those type of, okay, I would liken it to this. Like you're at an art gallery. And, you know, you see various pieces of art, you know, you see everybody just kind of, well, you see a good amount of people standing in front of this abstract, you know, painting or whatever. And you've got people saying, oh, this thing fucking sucks.
Yeah.
You know, this is like, how can this be, you know, $3,000 and, you know, whatever, it's, you know, I look like a child did it or whatever. And then you've got people on the other side, you know, that are saying, well, you know, I see it for this, and, you know, I really like this aspect or their take on whatever. And they're seeing something that, you know, the pessimist really isn't seeing. Mm. And like, you know, you just kind of, you see it differently based on, and that's, I guess that kind of takes into effect. I'm sorry, takes into account, you know, Smoke and Tiana's
experience.
Yeah, experience of it, you know, in the theater, you know,
And that was what I was trying to get at a second ago, was that, like, I could see where, like, when you, this might need to be more of an immersive experience, you know, when, and I say this about any movie, just about it, something about seeing a movie in a movie theater, to me, hits differently than watching it in your home.
No doubt.
You're in a room, in a dark room, with mostly people you do not know. And you're not in comfortable environments. You're not sitting on your couch with your bathroom over there and your kitchen over there, right? You're in a strange place with strange people. So you experience things, especially horror movies, differently in a theater than you do at home, right, Smoke?
True. And with this specifically, and with our specific experience with it in the theater, though, it's a little bit more disconcerting because it was only us and one other couple in there. And they left. They got... At what point? Do you remember what point? It was a good little
right
bit into
it. Or right after when they realized nothing was happening.
Yeah.
I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, I don't blame them because, I mean, they were probably just I doubt that they were like, art fans, art film fans or experimental film fans or anything like that. They were probably just waiting for a plot to develop.
Yeah.
And they waited. I give them credit. They waited to a good little bit into it. But when they realized that, okay, well, nothing's happened up, we're going to get up and leave. Then it was just me and Tiana in this theater experiencing it. That was kind of disconcerting in itself, too.
Oh,
yeah, because then you get into that side of, it's already kind of off-putting sometimes when you're in a theater full of people, because you don't know everybody, right? You don't know what could happen, right? You're in a room full of strangers. But it's also even worse when you're in an empty room that ain't your house watching, you know, in a dark theater, watching a movie like this.
Yeah, with the sound design made to like induce nightmares.
You start thinking shit's like, you know, like somebody sitting behind you and, you know, you start seeing shit out of the corner of your eye and stuff, you know, like it gets creepy. It adds a level of creepiness. I always say that about when I first saw Blair Witch Project. Mm-hmm. You know, when there was still that little bit of an air of like, maybe this is legit, you know, this ain't a movie, this is a documentary, right? Remember they kind of had the that was the bill of goods they were kind of selling. And
yeah,
even though you knew it wasn't, you know, there was still that little bit of doubt, you know, go back to, you know, before everybody read everything all the time on the fucking internet, right? So couple that with the fact that I saw it in a theater with nobody. I was by myself watching that. So I know that feeling of like, oh, fuck, this is kind of creepy. Now I could watch Blair Witch Project and be like, man, this is, what the fuck? Why was I creeped out by this? This is stupid as shit. But in that moment, right? So maybe it's something like that. So I could see, getting back to the point, Donnie, is that I can see where they had a different, better experience with it than, say, the rest of us did watching it at home on Shudder, right?
Yeah. And then we also dropped two hits of acid before. Not
well, you should have led with that. Man, you buried the lead for sure.
I know somebody that was high that went and seen it.
I would not. I could not. All right.
Freak you the fuck out.
Somebody done some things in the past. I couldn't imagine dropping any, taking any sort of hallucinogenic, going to see this in a theater.
No, that's not advisable.
No.
I mean, really want to drive yourself with, you know, over the, you know, like what's his name from the original Pink Floyd, you know,
was it Sid Barrett. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, I guess we can end it with this. What's your interpretation? Well, I guess we can go one by one. Donnie, what's your interpretation of it? Is this a nightmare? Is this life after death? What do you think we're seeing here?
I don't fucking know. I just don't fucking know what it is. Because I'm on the side of, you know, kind of going back to my art gallery type of analogy. I'm on the side to where I'm just like, the fuck is this?
And that's why, I know it's an old trope, but that's why they always say art is subjective.
Yeah.
Well, it is, you know, and this is no different than any other form of art, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? What are you watching here, you think?
Again, I go back to on the initial watch, it was just like, God, man, this is boring and it's hard to get through. After doing research, after watching it, and maybe just having this be like an artsy way to explain maybe how children cope with bad things that happen in life, mm-hmm. I could get behind it a little bit better, but again, this needs to be so much shorter.
And I think those are the kind of things that you'd never get a straight answer from. You know, if you ask Kyle Edward Ball, and he was sitting here right now, you know, he'd pull the old John Lennon on you. Well, what do you think it's about? You know, all right, shut the fuck up. Leave me, you know.
Well, no, I think that's the thing. I'd read something somewhere saying that he had his interpretation of it when he put it out there and he told people what it was about. But like after hearing like a bunch of other people's thoughts on where and how this should be interpreted, he said, you know, like now it's out of my hands. Like,
well, yeah, it's out in the world now.
People interpret.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you know, yeah.
You interpret it the way you want to interpret. Yeah. There will probably be people that watch this shit and like give him ideas. Like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I was thinking that way. You know, maybe I am smarter than I thought I was. I just thought I was doing some creepy nightmare shit, but yeah, that's a better idea. Tiana, what do you think's going on here?
I could say it could go two ways, just like Will said. There could be an entity in the house that has taken over, supernatural. That's how it feels. Mm-hmm. But then it could also just be, you know, nightmare fuel, nightmare, because no nightmares really make sense anyway, do they?
No, I mean, like, yeah, if you could put a TV on your head and record your nightmares and then play them back the next day, you'd be like, what the fuck was going on here? Like, yeah, it wouldn't make any sense.
But I feel like it does make a little bit of sense. It's just that we don't see everything, you know, like a regular movie.
Yeah, you're right. Like, it doesn't play out in front of you like a movie.
But yeah, I do feel like it could be that children could be being abused, and home is their safe space. Mm-hmm. And this safe space has no windows, no doors, no way to get out.
They don't even feel safe enough to go up and use the toilet, so they use buckets in a
yeah.
You know, downstairs.
And
that's not normal.
Years, so yeah. I guess that's it's fair. But that ending, my God.
And see, and I think that's where, you know, we'll get to that with ratings and final thoughts or whatever, but I think that's where my disappointment was with it, was like, it didn't feel like it had a proper ending You know what I mean? It just kind of stopped. Yeah. I guess if you want to call that an ending, but yeah, it's messed up, but it's just like, it just.
That face.
Yeah. 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 Well, that was the eyes and the. Smoke, what do you think's happening in this movie?
Well, it's just kind of like what I was saying in the beginning, and what everybody else kind of has said is that nightmare logic is really the only thing I could put. Also, it's like a nostalgia factor. It's like they're kids. Now, I didn't, you know, realizing that the director is fairly young. And like I said, 1995, I guess, was when he would have been as young as the kids in here.
Yeah.
Even though it's strange because the movie plays out the way it was recorded and everything plays out like a 70s atmosphere to it.
Yeah, 70s, 80s. Yeah.
So that in that way, it was kind of like my childhood. That is, yeah, I was born in 73. So, I mean, 77, 78, you know, I'm 3 and 4 years old and everything or in that area. So, for me, it evoked a nostalgia from my childhood. The cartoons, even though those cartoons were older than I was, a lot of the ones that were in public domain, that's why I used them. But they were still reruns when I was a kid of that stuff that was on there. So it definitely, yeah, like hit some buttons in my, you know, tapping buttons in my brain from childhood. So I don't know if he did that on purpose, you know, because.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I think ultimately that's what he's going for, you know, is to kind of bring up some old memories and stuff of childhood and how the simplest, yeah, things when you're a kid, how the simplest, most innocent things can be creepy as hell.
Yeah. You
know, I think that's what he was going for.
True. I think he was too. And the other stuff, like I didn't, like Will had said, I wouldn't have, like, just watching it on my own, I wouldn't have put that together as far as it possibly being a child, you know, children being abused, and this is their way of dealing with that type of nightmare.
Yeah,
I mean,
I didn't read it that way, but once I hear that, yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, it plays out in different ways that way, and I think that's why the popularity is attributed to it in that time frame, as far as, you know, it kind of becoming viral and people saying, yeah, you need to see this. No matter what you think of it in the end, you should watch it anyways and give it a chance or whatever. So I think I can see that it's not as polarizing as some movies. So it's some people, you know, these types of movies, they either love it or hate it. We'll see what our ratings are at the end of this. But I mean, it's a personally polarizing movie to me, not just like, you know, the rating on IMDb being this amount of people like it, this amount of people don't like it. But to me personally, it's like, and I'm getting that once we get to our ratings.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
speaking of which, I guess we can go ahead and dive into it. So, Will, you brought it to the table, so we'll let you eat first. What do you say?
I think I'm gonna have to go with like a 1.5. I really would like to go higher on this, but it's a little bit out there for me, and I think probably 180 minutes too long.
Donnie, what do you say?
You know, I mentioned earlier, I can kind of appreciate the experimental nature of it. But for the most part, I grew bored of this pretty quickly. And then, you know, I was like the people in the theater with Smoke and Tiana. I mean, I was just waiting for some plot thing to happen. Never did. But, you know, all that said, on Crafts or Peace, we usually nominate movies that, you know, we think will torture each other upon viewing. And to me, this is where Skinamarink belongs. I gave it 1 star. This movie sucks.
I think I'm going to say, I give it 1 star, but I'm not doing it with the disdain that Donnie just did.
Yeah. I fucking hate this movie.
I didn't hate it. It's just like, I'm always interested in new stuff, and I'm always interested in something that's going to make you think. This one didn't necessarily make you think until, in my opinion, until after it's over. Like, when you're watching it, you're just like, God damn, what the hell's going on here? Jesus, end this thing. Why is it 1 hour 40? Fuck, you know, all that.
Yeah.
Once you get out of it, though, and a little time passes, you're like, all right, what the fuck was that about? You know, and then you, like Will said, you know, you look up some shit and you see some ideas. And so it's polarizing in that. And you can't completely shit on something that was made for $15,000.
Ends up making
$2 million, you know, is successful in that way and polarizing and something that people will talk about for a long time. So I'm going to give a little bit of bump for that, but it still only gets a 1. So, I mean, it's not great, but it's interesting. I'll say that. So, Tiana, what do you say?
I'm going to give it a 2.5, only because, well, what I didn't like about it was long.
Yeah.
But I feel like it could have been longer than what you guys thought it should be. Like, I think like an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that too, but I think that still would have hit better than this. You know, it's inarguably way too long.
Yeah, I think he was trying to build up that tension. Mm-hmm. Some areas. It's just a little too much.
It just didn't pay off for that tension that you build up, though. You know what I mean? And I get that. I totally read what he's trying to do there, but like the payoff just wasn't, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze.
Yeah, but hell, he made money off of it, so I'd like to see what he does next.
I definitely would be interested in seeing him do something more like a normal movie, because I'll be honest with you, I don't think this is a movie.
No, it's really not. Definitely not.
Yeah, very much kind of like a concept film.
Yeah,
whatever this was, I don't want any part of it.
That's what I'm saying. I would be interested to see a normal script and this dude do something with a normal movie. Like, I think that would be interesting.
Yeah.
My next movie, Skinamarink 2.
Yeah. The Secret of the Ooze.
Secret of the Ooze.
All right, so Professor, that leaves us to you. What's your thoughts and final thoughts and rating on it?
You know, as I was alluding to, it was polarizing, not just to people in general, but to me as well. I appreciate the aesthetic, the look of it. You know, the sound design, as I mentioned, it was definitely worth seeing in the theater. Just that style. It looks like the 70s. And also, there was things, we didn't really talk about it in here yet, but there was things going on. And I don't know if you could see it, probably could see it better in a theater than you can even on a big screen TV. In the noise of the movie, in other words, in spaces that were really black, in the shadows or whatever, there was noise going on that looked like stuff going. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like things form images and stuff out of noise in the background of shadowy scenes or whatever. Definitely was much more noticeable on the big screen. I guess it was purposeful, but it's still, like you said, it doesn't develop in anything. Almost like the scene in the bedroom, look under the bed, do this, that, that was building up this tension, but there's no real payoff.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't going for that angle. He wasn't going for the typical horror movie, I guess, of I'm going to build up this tension, then I'm going to give you the scare. Although you kind of wanted it to go there,
Yeah, you want to see, the devil,
at
the end. You want to see the devil. You don't really see, other than those fuzzy eyes, you don't see the devil.
True. I could appreciate the aesthetic and appreciate the experimental stuff he was doing with it, whatever, but not having any sort of real payoff other than just surrealism, I guess.
Yeah.
which I can appreciate surrealism, but I mean, that's why it's kind of polarizing to me. I like it for what it is to a point, but yeah, as all of us have said, it's too long. It definitely could have been pared down quite a bit. I think I'll go with the 2 on it. Yeah. So it's not split in the middle like it was on, say, IMDb or whatever, but I'm more on the other end of it than I am on the loving it end or whatever. So I appreciate what he did. I just wish there was a little bit more substance, as you do when you're watching these. I'm not the biggest fan of experimentalism for the sake of experimentalism when it comes to filmmaking. I'm certainly, like Donnie's analogy, I'm certainly not a fan of modern art when it comes to painting and sculpture, but I am a little bit more forgiving of movies and cinema when it's experimental. I just don't necessarily appreciate full-on experimentalism just for the hell of it. So
look, just because it's experimental, just because it's unique, doesn't mean it's good. It just means it's something different, right? Like, we don't have to all love it. We don't have to fawn over it. And I'm sure he would even agree if he were sitting here, but at least it left you with something that was, whether you loved it or hated it, it was interesting, right? It was just too long. And it's definitely, to me, not something you would watch over and over again. Like, I think once is enough for this, for the rest of my life, probably.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this too, watching it on a smaller, we got a big screen TV, but it's not a theater.
Yeah.
Watching it in a theater versus watching it on our big screen TV was definitely downgraded the experience. This is, some movies, as we said, the experience in the theater is always going to be different than at home. But there are some movies where you're just like, oh, it doesn't matter. You can watch it at home or you can watch it in the theater and it doesn't really change much. But this one was, I'm glad that we saw it in the theater. And it was better sound and visually than in the theater than it was at home. But I could see how it would not be as appreciated.
And then I just had to kick the shit out of the dog. one thing that I just thought of in the little bit that you were talking about there, Smoke, before we move on to the last little bit and wrap it up, I just thought of a way this might be connected to Black Christmas. When I talked about in this movie, you don't see the devil, right? So spoiler for Black Christmas, if you've never seen it, you don't see the devil. You don't see the killer, right? So, like, maybe that's the comparison. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to leave you with a fucking bad taste in your mouth. And you're either going to like it or, you know, or not. I don't care. But we're just going to leave you with this, you know, lingering.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the Black Christmas comparison. I don't know. But So before we completely wrap it up, we'll toss to you first, Donnie.
Connections from the crypt.
This has got to be pretty easy, I would think.
Yeah, this is not because I would just want to be done with this fucking movie and, like, move on to the next one. There are no connections at all, and I, you know.
Yeah, it's small crew. I mean, they did it. Yeah. They did it for, like, a pack of Bazooka Joe and a fucking soda pop.
Basically.
You know, with a cast of four in this dude's childhood home. So, yeah, no, surprise, surprise, there's no connection.
No.
Will, I don't know if you've been here in a while since we did this, but we handed your job over to Tiana. So, Tiana?
Kill. Count.
Okay, so, with this one being a little weird, you can either say zero because you don't see nothing, or you can say both children were killed because of the blood splatter and what was going on. So I guess it's up to the
viewer. This one's a weird one, you know, obviously, for a thousand obvious reasons we've talked about for the last hour or so. But, yeah, I don't know if you can come to a certain count, you know, as far as a body count, because you don't ever see anything other than just some blood, right? And the fact that, you know, he stabbed himself in the eyeball with a knife.
Yes.
So other than thinking about it, you don't really see anything other than some blood spatter, so... So this makes my choice interesting.
Let's talk about the kill reel.
Highlight kill.
I don't know what we saw enough to tell you whether we had a highlight kill or not. Look, if it's ever comes out one day, okay, yeah, they're both dead or something, then I guess I'll go with the boy as the highlight kill, because that's the only one that is described as, like, fuck, he stabbed himself in the eye with a knife because some specter told him to do it. I guess I'll go with that. So, Smoke?
Gore score.
Well, this was a little bit easier for me than it was for y'all. Trying to determine whether, you know, what's the highlight kill if there was a kill, or how many people were killed if they were killed. The gore score, I'm just going strictly with what's shown. Yeah, you could talk about these, you know, the stabbing of the eye and all that, but nothing is really shown other than this blood splatter effect repeating, you know, being disappearing, splattering, and just that nightmare logic of that. And that's really all the gore I think there is in there. So I think I'll give it a one, I guess, on gore score, because it's not really about gore.
Yeah, it measures something because there is a little bit of blood, but that's about it. That's all you see. It's more of a feeling of unease than it is actually goriness. So that's where the horror comes in. So, well, I guess that'll put a wrap on it. So our consensus is 1.6 out of 5 stars. So we don't necessarily recommend it, but I think it's a polarizing, interesting flick. You know, if you're into, like, weird stuff, you might want to check it out at least once. But, you know, I think by and large, we don't necessarily recommend it. It's unique, for sure. It's unique. So, speaking of unique, next week we return to our cannon fodder series, and we spun the wheel and landed on one of the most ununique cannon flicks you possibly could of the 80s, but it's also one of those banner cannon flicks from the 80s, and that is Cobra, the Sylvester Stallone classic, which has probably become more of a cult classic over the years than it was, like, quote-unquote, highly successful. But we'll get into that next week. And, that I think that's a little bit of a favorite of most of the canon generation of kids that grew up watching this kind of shit. So this will be one of the more violent ones, probably, too. So look forward to that next week. So I guess
180 Skinnamarink.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that too. Yeah, it's a completely different vibe. Completely different vibe from other than a cartoon being on a I guess there wasn't even a cartoon. It was like a Toys R Us cartoon on the TV, right? Something playing on a television. That's the only comparison to that. So we'll leave it there. So for Will, Donnie, Tiana, Professor Smoke, I'm Josh. We're the All American Spook Show, and we'll talk to you next week for Cobra.
Please replace the speaker on its rack when you're ready to leave. Failure to do so will damage both the speaker and your car. We'll be grateful, and so will the patrons who follow you.